Okay, so we have a great opportunity today, Rabusai, to help us get into the mindset and the mode for Aseres Yemei Teshuva, which is well underway already. Today is the fourth day of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And I was given the zechus, the opportunity to begin this morning with us and try to hopefully set the tone a little bit for what we're trying to accomplish today and the rest of the days until Yom Kippur comes. The title of today's shiur is, Who Are We Kidding? Who Are We Kidding? Let me explain the title a little bit, what I had in mind when I chose that title for this discussion. There's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's actually a very interesting sif. It's sif, simen tuf resh gimel. The title of the simen is called Ubo Sif Echad. There's no title, it just says, there is one sif, there's just one law in this simen in Shulchan Aruch, tuf resh gimel. What does it say? The following words. Even a person who's not careful all year long to eat bread baked by Jews, pas Yisrael, but during the 10 days, Rosh Hashanah, till Erev Yom Kippur, those days a person should be careful only to eat pas Yisrael, bread baked by a Jew, as opposed to pas akum, as opposed to bread that was baked by a non-Jew. A fascinating halacha. A startling halacha. The Torah quotes halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes halacha, the Mishnah Berurah tells us we should be very careful with this. It's not so relevant in Israel probably because most things that you buy in Eretz Israel already are past Israel. Maybe tell your the next text after you put your phones in after the shiur, maybe you should tell your friends in America that they like their Wonder Bread that they have, which is not past Israel, or other brands of bread in America. They should be careful not to eat that bread during the 10 days as the Shiva. Fine. It's a very, very strange halacha. It requires understanding. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say for the rest of your life or the rest of the year, don't eat pas akum. It just says for these 10 days. For Aseres Yemei Teshuva, only eat bread baked by a Jew. The Shulchan Aruch is implying that we understand very, very well what's happening after Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You're going right back to your Wonder Bread. Wonder Bread, pas akum. Thomas is English muffins, whatever you like, whatever you think of. Pas akum, your best. I used to love Thomas's English muffins. I used to pop them in the toaster oven, a little cream cheese on top. Delicious. What a breakfast, lunch, or supper. Whenever you want it, the best. And no more Thomas English muffins for this week. Just for this week. And after that, we're back to the Thomas English muffins. What's the pshat? What's the idea? The truth of the matter is, Rabosai, the question which we can ask on the Shulchan Aruch, we can ask also on the whole concept of Aseres Yemei Teshuva, on the whole concept of Teshuva in general. A lot of us, as we approach Aseres Yemei Teshuva, we approach it with like a kind of like an awkwardness and almost a natural, uncomfortable feeling. Why? Because, come on, I did this act already. I played this game last year, and the year before, you know, I was good or better. I tried to be better for these 10 days. I tried, you know, Yom Kippur came and I really got to a high level, I think, I hope, maybe somewhere along the experience, but as soon as it's over, as soon as Yom Kippur is done, so I'm back to my old self. Some of us may be even feeling, you know, like I have plans already for Beit HaZmanim that are not exactly consistent with what I'm trying to accomplish now during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So what's the game? Or as the title that we chose for today is, Who Are We Kidding? What's the idea behind this whole period of time, this amazing week that we have, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, what's the point of this whole situation? So I'd like to present to you this morning a few perspectives, a few ideas, a few answers to this question. I hope that they'll be meaningful for each and every one of you and for myself as well. I hope it'll help us get into the proper mindset for Aseres Yemei Teshuva and for the entire year as well. The first suggestion is as follows. Part of the question, implicit in the question, is that we're assuming that what we accomplish during these next couple of days doesn't really matter, doesn't really make a difference. If after all, in the long run, I'm going back to my old ways, so then there's no real practical difference in me during these days. I want to share with you an incredible medrash that I was zocheh to stumble upon last year, and it really, really hit me very, very heavy and hard, and I hope it does the same to you. There's a very, very famous medrash, which we all know. Let's make sure we all know it. How old was Rabbi Akiva when he started to learn Aleph Beis? Who knows? 40. Excellent, we all know. 40 years old. And we know he goes to Cheder. He goes to the little kids that are learning Aleph Beis. My little 4-year-old son's now learning Aleph Beis. I was practicing this morning with him. Aleph, Beis, Vez. Imagine Rabbi Akiva, 40-year-old man, grown man, newly married man, going into the cheder to learn Aleph Beis. And we know that he learned Aleph Beis and he became ultimately Rabbi Akiva, one of the great Gedolei Ador we ever had. The greatest Gedolim, the greatest giants, the greatest Tanoim we ever had. Okay, that's one story of Rabbi Akiva. There's another story of Rabbi Akiva. Everyone knows this one also. Rabbi Akiva, the Medrash says, it's found in Avos Rabbi Nasan. If you want to see it inside, it's in Perek Vav. Avos Rabbi Nasan says the following thing. I'm not going to read it inside. My time is already shortened, but listen carefully. The Medrash says Rabbi Akiva was one time walking by a well, and he saw a rock, and the rock had a hole in it next to this well, it says. Rabbi Akiva turns to people around him and says, whoa, what happened over here? How'd the rock get a hole in this rock? How is there a hole in a rock? Rocks don't get holes in them. How did the rock get a hole? Asks the Medrash. And the fellows around him say to Rabbi Akiva, you don't know the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Avanim Shachakumayim, which means the water rubs out at the stone, and the water ultimately penetrates the stone. Says Rabbi Akiva, Kalachomer. If the water, which is soft, can penetrate a rock, which is hard, so the Torah, which is compared to Barzel, which is compared to iron, of course, it could penetrate my soft heart. Says the Medrash with these words, says the Medrash, Miyad, immediately, Chazar, the Talmud, which means if you can return back to go learn. Says Rabbi Saul Salanter in his Sefer Or Yisrael, this is an Igeres Yud if you want to see it inside, the following beautiful idea. What does it mean, Chazar? What's Chazar mean? Chazar, he returned. Implying that what? He started learning, and then he what? He stopped, he left, good. Says Rabbi Saul Salanter, what happened? Rabbi Akiva said, you know what, I'm 40 years old, I walk into a cheder, I start learning Aleph Beis. It's doing nothing to me. It's not making a difference on me, I'm the same exact person as I was before. What's the point of this whole thing? It's just a waste of time. It's, who am I kidding, he said. It's doing nothing to me. What happened? He came to the rock, and he saw the water penetrate the rock, and drip by drip, drop by drop, the water, even though each drop looks like it's doing nothing, but eventually what happens? It penetrates the rock, it makes a hole in the rock, and all of a sudden this rock that was almost impenetrable, it was so hard, it was impossible to break through, what happens? The rock now has a hole inside of it. Says Rabbi Akiva, you know what? The same with me. I may not realize what's happening to me when I'm involved in learning Torah. I may not realize what's happening to me when I'm involved in Avodas Hashem. I don't see a change. So what's the point? Quote unquote, who am I kidding? And the answer is, you may not see the change. You may not realize something is happening to you, but something is happening to you. A change is happening to you. Whether we realize it or not, whether we know it or not, this is not only an aser, it's a true idea, Rabbi Osai. This is an idea for life in Yiddishkeit. Guys in yeshiva come to me and say, after a few months, I'm here in yeshiva, I'm learning to starve, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and nothing is happening to me. Here's the code word, Rabbi Osai. Rabbi Akiva, the rock, the water. It doesn't seem like anything might be happening to you, but in reality, it's happening to us. We don't realize necessarily, but something is happening to us. There was a Talmud in this yeshiva of mine a few years ago. I won't say his name, because you'll see why in a second. I'll choose my words carefully. He spent his year having a lot of fun. Not necessarily in the Beis Medrash, but he was in my shir. He had a great time. Always smiling and happy. I rarely saw him in shir. Nice kid, happy kid, but just not really connected to what was going on in the Beis Medrash. As the year was going on, we were, you know, placing our bets and our calls. Who's coming back Shana Bet? This kid in my shir was the last kid on the list to be coming back Shana Bet. No one had a hava amina. No one thought in a million years this boy was coming back Shana Bet. Okay, let's fast forward into the year. It's the last night of yeshiva. I'm on the porch right above us. The big porch. That's where we hang out. And everyone's saying their goodbyes, open mic, all the fun things to look forward to at the end of this year. All of a sudden, this guy pulls me over and says, Rebbe, I got to talk to you. Says, sure, Yankel. It's not his name. He says, sure, Yankel. What is it? He said, I think I want to come back Shana Bet. I said, Yankel, can I feel your forehead? Are you feeling okay? Do you know what you just said out of your mouth? He And I didn't say it. I don't think it feels so bad. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. That's what happened. He said, I don't know. But something over the course of the year just, little by little, has pushed me. The entire summer I spent on the phone back and forth with his father, who was avidly opposed to coming Shana Bet. He came back Shana Bet in the end. He's now a married man, married a wonderful Bas Yisrael. He's a Ben Toro. Baruch Hashem started a wonderful Jewish family. How did it happen? What was it? I don't even know. But it should be a kivitz. We don't necessarily realize what's going on inside of ourselves, but something is taking place. That's the first perspective. Again, for Hashem and Tshuva, and for the entire long road of Avodas Hashem, when sometimes we're feeling, this is amazing. Sometimes we're feeling like, what's really happening to me? Number one perspective, Abosai, is that something is happening to us, whether we realize it or not, whether we appreciate it or not. Something very, very precious and meaningful is happening to us along the way as we take part and go on this tremendous journey that we're embarking upon as Bnei Torah Zovdei Hashem. That's number one, perspective number one. We may not realize it or feel it, but something is happening. Who are we kidding? The answer is nobody, because something is really happening to us, whether we appreciate it or feel it or not. It's certainly happening to us. That's number one. You can just put that aside for now. I'm not going to connect every single idea in this talk. That's an independent, freestanding idea. I hope it was meaningful to you as it was to me when I first saw it in my life, and I still get excited every time I figure that. Here's number two. The Chazon Ish, the great Gadol HaDor, was asked the same question. Come on, who are we kidding? Seriously, Tshuva, Pas Yisrael. And we go back right afterwards. Listen to the answer of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish responded with the following words when he was asked this question. Said the Chazon Ish, I read it in Hebrew. The Chimilsa Zutrisa Helios Karovel Hashem B'meshech Mispar Shavuot Hayesh Lecha Chich Matok Mizeh.
What does that mean? Is it a small matter? It's close to Hashem for a couple of weeks? Is anything sweeter to your cheek, to your mouth, than this closeness that we could experience for a couple of days and weeks?
Said the Chazon Ish, you know what? Maybe you'll go back. Maybe you won't keep up all the things that we're going to talk about in a few minutes for the entire year. There's a good chance it may not last. But you know what? To be in this mode for these days, you know how precious that is? You know how awesome that is? Is there anything sweeter in the world than being in that place called Aseret Yitzchuva, called these days of Rachamim, these days of closeness to Hashem? Is there anything sweeter in the world than this experience? I'd like to explain a little bit what the Chazon Ish means, I think, in terms that I think we can hopefully understand a little bit better. I'd like to share with you two mishalim, two parables that I think will help us appreciate this a little bit more. One mashal is from Rav Pinkus, and one is a mashal that I've been thinking about myself for many years as a kippur approaches. Rav Pinkus first. Rav Pinkus that tzal said the following mashal. Many of us soon are going to go look for our dalet meaning. Go buy Lula, Vanessa, Gadas, and I don't know if you get a shout out to Rav Ifra, Shlita, maybe you'll buy it from Rav Ifra. But you should still go to the Shuk. The Shuk Dalet Minim. You'll go to Meir Sharim, you'll see thousands of people coming and converging on a small area with vendors selling little kids with cute little pays flying in the air saying, you have any Kushiklach? And means, you have little Kushiklach? If they're asking you if you have Kushiklach, it means those are the holders. That's the Yiddish word, the holders of the Hadass Maravos. Yeah,
okay,
so exciting. And you're going to come to this Shuk, and you'll see all the people there together going to buy Dalet Minim. Imagine a father brings his son to the Shuk. And you know what? There's a lot of people there in the Shuk. And so, he wants to make sure he doesn't lose his son. So he grabs onto his son's hand, very, very tightly, and he's walking with him in the Shuk. The problem is the father is interested in what the father is interested in, and the five-year-old son is interested in what he's interested in. The father is interested in the Hadass. And he takes out his magnifying glass and is trying to figure out, you know, is the hadas coming out of the stem? Are the three leaves coming out of the exact same point on the stem, which is Allah Hadassah, and he's looking at the magnifying glass. All of a sudden, the kid, he's not interested in Hadassah. What does he care about? Yeah, he's broken. He's very broke. Or maybe he cares about the picture, or the lights, or the beautiful ornaments that are. And all of a sudden, the son slipped into his father. And the father's engrossed in his Hadassah. And the little kid's like engrossed in all the excitement of life, the excitement of it, and they part ways. And it's like, And after the father finishes halfway down the stem, he's like, man, I'm missing my Yankala. Where's my little boy? Starts looking around, Yankala, Yankala, where are you, Yankala? He's looking on the entire ship, where's my Yankala, where's my Yankala? He can't find his Yankala. In this shuk, Dalabin is also a police little stand in case people lose their kids, because a lot of Yankalas get lost at these kind of events. And so he goes over to the police stand and he sees all, Baruch Hashem, someone found Yankala, brought him over to the police, and the father comes over to the police and says, ah, it's my Yankala. And the police says to the father, prove it. Maybe you're trying to pick up your son. And all of a sudden, Yankala runs out of the police hands and squeezes his father and says, Abba, Abba! The peer is going down the street, Abba, Abba, I lost you, I missed you. So happy to connect with you. And the police actually believes his father is actually Yankala. And how close is the relationship between Yankala and his father now? It was always close. But when the distance is there, and all of a sudden they come back together, just freeze the camera on that one for a second. Yankala and the father embracing again after they were apart. The closeness is so beautiful. The keshe is so much stronger. There's a pinkus. That's the beauty of tshuva. That's the time of Aseres Yemei Tshuva that we have to so much value and appreciate. We separated from Hashem. We're going to go to the course. We drifted, and now we're coming back. The embrace is so strong because we come back. And the longing is so great from father to son, son to father. All we want is to have that connection back with our father. That's a pinkus is mashal, beautiful mashal. The mashal I think about when I think about Yom Kippur coming is a similar mashal, but a bit different. I have children, Baruch Hashem, a bunch of little boys, some of them are yantif. Some of them are a little bit feisty. Some of them are like to get dirty every day. They play outside in the street. Thank God, that's what they do. They keep busy in Eretz Yisrael. They play in the sand. They play in the dirt. Whenever it starts to rain, there's mud. They try to be mocked to jump into every single puddle. They get themselves as dirty and muddy as possible. Imagine, my five-year-old kid comes back to the five-year-old kid comes into the house after a long day, and it was a great day. How do you know it was such a great day? Because there's not a white part of his body to be seen. Everything is muddy and beautiful and gewaldic. It's full of dirt. And he walks into the house and looks at me and like, ech, get in the shower! Get away. And his mother comes over to him, a little more lovely than his father, a little more motherly touch. And mommy says, oh, he's a beautiful little boy. He looks so great. He had a wonderful day. Just come with me. She takes him to the bath. Johnson & Johnson. Spritz a little Johnson & Johnson. And the shower head gets clean. It's spanking clean. Like he never touched a piece of dirt or mud that entire day. How good is that feeling? May not last that long. There's a good chance before he goes to sleep, there's a color on his own hand. You know what? That moment when the kid feels clean and fresh, when the mother feels so good because she cleaned her child, that's the precious moment. We're going to say over and over on the kipper. The Pasuk says, Mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is a mikvah to the day of Israel. Ma mikvah mitaras atlem. As the mikvah is mitaras atlem. Tell me, Abba Kodesh Baruch Hu mitaras Israel. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes us after we're dirty. After a whole year of dirt. How many seasons of Netflix stuff that we saw that we shouldn't have seen that are imprinted on us. They're dirty. They made our souls dirty. And all of a sudden what happens? Hashem takes us and He cleans us up. He puts us in the mikvah. And we come out stinking clean. How beautiful is that experience? How precious is that? To have that feeling of closeness, of cleanliness, which we experience when the Kippur comes, as the Tshuva process comes. That is the closeness that we feel on Yom Kippur. And if you want to just put it into terms, maybe a little more terms that we could read inside. The Rambam writes so beautifully in Hilchos Tshuva. In Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav. Easy to remember. Zayin Vav. Why is it easy to remember? Because it's Zayin Vav, zoo. Like a zoo, there's a zoo nearby, Zayin Vav. Zayin Vav. Perek Zayin Halacha Vav. Says the Rambam. Hatshuva mekareves terachokim. Tshuva brings those that are far away closer. Emesh. What does Emesh mean? Right. Yesterday, Hayezesh Sono, he was hated. With Ne'amako. Meshuka, he was gross. Merucha, he was an abomination. You know what he was doing last night? Last week? Last month? And now, Vayomu Ahuv. What does Ahuv mean? Beloved. Nechmad. Precious. Karov. Close. Yedid. What's he did? He's a friend. A friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How does that happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us, He puts us into the mikvah, He has to have this experience, this precious experience of tshuva, which is so chashuv, so beloved, so incredible in our eyes. So again, number two, perspective, is as follows. Yeah, we might go back to our ways, but how precious is this time? How chashuv, how awesome is this opportunity that we have to gain this closeness back with Hashem, to have this cleanliness, to have that purging of things that sometimes are not the most clean inside of ourselves. My wife last year told me another perspective, which is similar to this one. I think it's very important. Listen closely, all those that are not married in this room yet. Those that aren't married in this room, it's good chazar for us. Those that are not married in this room, listen closely. Rabbi Yochum Lubavitz, the great Mashiach of the great Yeshiva, was asked the same question. Bread, 10 days, you go on a vacuum, what's the point? Listen to his perspective, listen to his idea. It's a variation on the theme of number two. Listen carefully. He says, imagine you're dating a girl. Going out with a girl, and you know, the first date goes well, always a good sign. It doesn't go well, you probably still go out a second time, just to make sure that it's not right, unless you know for sure it's not right, okay? Just tips 101, dating 101. And you're dating this girl, it's going well, the first date goes well, second date goes well, potential, it's looking good. And Eretz Yisrael, the third date already, in some circles you're ready to like, you know, break glass, so you're high. I'm not suggesting that for anybody in this room. That's fast. 3 dates is too fast. 4 or 5, not good. Just kidding. Take your time, make sure it's the right person. Not too much time necessarily, but not for now. Different conversation, we'll use that another time. Mir Tashem. Anywho, Mir Tashem. Not just you, I mean the seven. Okay. Anywho, you're dating, and after the third or fourth day, you're like, you learn what she likes. You know, she likes, I thought personally, when I was dating her, I found that after a couple of days that she likes Tropicana oranges. A little challenging, we move to Eretz Yisrael, we don't find it on the shelves. Once in a while, you can find golden fall oranges, which is like a, you know, it's not exactly Tropicana, it's the yeshiva's brand of Tropicana, so to speak. You pay 30 shekel for, you know, a card that should cost, like, you know, $2.99 in ShopRite, but okay, whatever the case may be. She likes a Tropicana, so what do you do? What do I do? Next day, what do I bring? Tropicana, why? She likes Tropicana, duh. She finds out that I have a sweet tongue, it's true. I like cake. She finds out which cake I like, she bakes the cake. We go on a nice date together, she brings the cake that I like. She pasteurizes. You know what pasteurizing means? She'll spend extra time, you know, like some cakes that have like different layers and different, you know, you gotta have the cream and the coating and the layer number one. Some cakes are pasteurized. Some cakes are like easy, Duncan Hines mix. You take the mix, you put in a little an egg or two, a little water, a little something pop in the oven, outcome is yummy Duncan Hines. She's not gonna be Duncan Hines on a bitch. She finds, you know, I like that. Banana cake, let's say, whatever the case is. She'll go find bananas that aren't so ripe, because if they're ripe, then that's good to make banana cake. She finds bananas, she lets them get a little bit less ripe, a little bit more, whatever the right word is, non-ripe, what's the good word, whatever the case may be. What? Rotten. Rotten, not rotten, spicy. Brown, okay, whatever the case may be. I think she likes me. She said she would marry me. Okay, anywho, long story short, she goes out all out. Why? Because she wants to make the best impression. Okay, fast forward, we're getting engaged. Get married. Mazel tov. At the beginning of the marriage, also, like, you know, you go all out. And then as time goes on in life, you don't have time to go all out like you did, but you're recording. Life gets busy. He goes to work, she goes to work, she's in school, he's in school, and they have children, and they're busy raising the children. And every day she doesn't make that delicious banana cake. You know why? She'd love to, but she can't. She's busy changing diapers. She's busy in graduate school. She's busy whatever doing. She's doing what she's doing. She has no time. Says of Yerucham, well, listen carefully. Once a year, she'll go all out. She'll make him that cake. She'll go and she'll invest in a delicious cake. He'll go ahead and, you know, drive the extra mile to buy the extra flour that she wants, so that she likes. Why? Because it's the anniversary. Let me ask you a question. And all year long, he doesn't care about her. All year long, she doesn't care about him. Of course he cares about him. All year long also. What changed on the anniversary? The answer is nothing changed. Just one day a year, they reflect on their relationship and they realize, you know what? This is how I want it to be. I wish it could be this way all year long. I can't. You know why? Because life is busy. But I want this to be the way it is. This is how I want it. This is my dream, my hope. This is how it should be. Says the book of that is Hazrei Tshuva. Beautiful mashal. The relationship is precious to us with Hashem. All year long, we don't have time to focus on it so much. We're busy. I got to do things. I got to be in Seder at 9 o'clock. I got to be 9:15. 9:15? 9:20? 9:25? I got to be 9:35. I'm busy. I got stuff. Yeah, whatever. I got to go here. I got to go there. The chevra is pulling me here. The chevra is pulling me there. I got stuff going on. But once a year, I can take a step back and realize, you know what? This relationship is important to me. This is valuable to me. I care about this. This means a lot to me in my life. That's a Aseret Yemei Teshuva. That's a Yeruchim's perspective. Again, to show us that we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is an important relationship to us. My time is running out, Baruch Hashem. I mean, sad for me. I only have 7 minutes left. I wanted to share with you one final perspective on this opening question. Then we'll wrap it up. Who are we kidding? We're going right back to our same ways. Who are we kidding? So, I'll give you another answer to that question. In addition to the ones we suggested until now. I'll ask you a simple question back. Do we have to go back to our ways? Must we go back to the same thing that we were doing all year long next year? Is it a must? Is it a must? Let me explain. Chafetz Chaim wanted to ask. Someone was going to speak to Jews that were not so affiliated in South Africa. And he came to the Chafetz Chaim and said, Rebbe, if I have one message I can give these Jews, in the name of the Chafetz Chaim, what should I tell them? Said the Chafetz Chaim, this is what you tell them. People think that tshuva is very difficult. They hear tshuva, they get all nervous. Tshuva! That's not for me. Maybe the guy's in Meir Sharim, that's tshuva. Maybe Shana Benka is, they can do tshuva. Maybe, I don't know, those long people that have long curls coming down the side of their faces, they're tshuva. Me? Tshuva? No! Said the Chafetz Chaim, tell them my name. That tshuva is easy. Easy? Yeah. All you have to do is two things. Charata, regret what you did, and a Kabbalah, and accept something upon yourself in the future. Tell them I said so. Chafetz Chaim said, tell them I said so. Tshuva is easy. How's it easy? Charata, remorse. We can all feel bad about things that we did. Everyone in this room, myself certainly included, could think of things I did over the past year that I shouldn't have done. I feel bad. I did that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have talked that way to somebody. I shouldn't have thought that way. I shouldn't have done that action for sure. For sure. And a Kabbalah. What's a Kabbalah? A Kabbalah, Rabosa, is I take upon myself something. It is small, not too big. The Kabbalah should not be that I'm never going to see Blush Nerve coming here. You know why? Make it work. I give you a brother, but you should not speak one word of Blush Nerve entire year. But it's unlikely to happen. Amen. Myself also. Who wants to lush an hour? Nobody wants to lush an hour. But the likelihood of us all getting through the entire year, day, without thinking lush an hour, is not so simple. Take a small Kabbalah upon yourself. Take some time out over the next couple of days and think about an area where you can improve. Maybe it's in speech. Maybe it's in cleanliness of speech. Maybe it's in Kibbutz Avayim. Maybe it's in Bittul Torah, maybe it's in whatever area. You could think to yourself, Shabbos! I'm here at Shabbos. I don't know anything about Shabbos. I don't even know what Borer means. I don't even know what Schita is. Shout out for the Shabbos Bekai, not for Shabbos shit. Shkoi, I know what Schita means. You can ask me that first. I don't know these things. I don't know what they mean. Take a small Kabbalah upon yourself, and you know what? You'll see that a small Kabbalah can domino into a real, real, long, effective change. It doesn't have to stop at Aseret Yemei Teshuva. It doesn't have to be, okay, that's it, 10 days, now I'm right back to old ways. Take a small thing upon yourself. And guess what you are? You are a Baal Teshuva. A Baal Teshuva. Take something that you can measure. A week after you'll give, you can ask yourself, how am I doing in my Kabbalah? I accept upon myself, let me give you a good example. Abosa, nice example. It's hard, very hard, not to mivata on a long seder in the morning, or in the afternoon, or at night. It's a long seder. 2 hours missed. That's just hard. It's sitting in my chalutz for 2 hours, and he's a good, he's a friendly guy. He's a good schmoozer, so I picked him. And you know, he likes, he's a great schmoozer. Here's a good kabbalah. Who thinks that they could go 5 minutes and say it without batla? Raise your hand. 5 minutes. If you're not raising your hand, you're not listening to what I'm saying. Everybody can go 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes? Or you're ready to go 5 minutes. I think 5 minutes you don't know. You know what? The first 5 minutes of Seder, it's easy not to batla. 5 minutes, I'm not going to talk. People told the first 5 minutes to say, you know what's going to happen? You'll accept myself, bleed out there, bleed out, not to talk for the first 5 minutes to sit there about things other than learning. You know what's going to happen? You'll start off right foot, and 5 minutes will become 6 minutes. Stopwatch, okay, 5 minutes, 1 second. Blah, I didn't know what happened last night. No, you'll see. 5 minutes will become 6 minutes, become 7 minutes. You're like, oh my gosh, I want a half an hour and say that about me. It's a small, quote unquote, a small Kabbalah, but it can go a very, very long way. Again, this is an example of many, many opportunities of Kabbalah that a person can take upon himself, which can make the experience of Ezra and Shiva not a temporary, fleeting, 10-day experience, but it can turn it into a life-changing, altering experience. In this review, what we spoke about today, I'll end with one final chazal, and we'll call it a day. Actually, I'll end with a story. An anecdote that happened last night in my house, in my kitchen, at 10:30 last night. What did he say? We asked the question. Bread? Wonder bread for 10 days? Why? Who are we kidding? And we answered, so far, 3 or 4 perspectives so far. Number one, a change is happening because of the mills or not. The Nechiva, that Talmud on the roof. Who knew? Who knew what was happening to him? Number one. Number two, is there anything sweeter than being in Hashem's embrace? Like that kid in the Shuk Abaminin. Like the kid going in the Johnson & Johnson. After being full of love, there's nothing more precious and sweet than that experience. Like the anniversary. I can't do it all year long. But at least now I want to show this relationship is important to me. Who said it has to end? It doesn't have to end. It could last. How does it last? I feel bad. I could feel bad. And a small Kabbalah, a small thing, take upon myself that will last for a very long time. Last night I was in my kitchen with my son, my oldest son. He's a yeshiva bacher. He's the sweetest in the world. He came down to the kitchen last night. It was a fast day yesterday. After we broke our fast at 7 o'clock, like everybody else, he got hungry again like at 10 o'clock. Like a yeshiva bacher. Came down to the kitchen, opens the fridge, finds the you know, the big ziti, whatever I need for the big fast, takes him out, plops him to the microwave. Abba, guess what our Shia said to the yeshiva? I'm like, oh. He goes, he asked this question. I'm like, what question? He goes, it says in Halacha that during the 10 days of the yeshiva, you're only supposed to have pas yisrael. He goes, what kind of halacha is that? It's a joke. Like, who are you kidding? I'm like, Ellie, that's a great question. I feel like I'm talking about it tomorrow morning in Torah Shana. What did the Rebbe say? What did Hashem say? And this is what he said. I think it sums up what we're trying to say this time morning. He said, I'm going to shoot us at the following thing. We got all wrong. You know who we're kidding? Nobody. Who's the real us? The real us is the person that wants to be the best version of us that can be. Who's that? The person that we try to be during Ezra and Shiva. That's the real us. Yeah, all year long, it's hard to be the best version of ourselves we can be. It's hard. But now, during this time, we have a chance to be the best version. He said, you're not kidding anybody. The only person you're kidding is yourself, or not even kidding yourself, because at the end of the day, if you are this person, you're being the best person that you can be. How sweet is it to be the best person you can be? How precious is it to be the right version of yourself? You're not faking anybody out, you're not kidding anybody. We're trying to be the best that we can be, and that's really who we are. And if we veer, and if over the course of the year we kind of lose that sense, we recalibrate now in the sense of the Jew, we come back to our focus and try to be the best that we can be. I give us all a bracha. We should maximize, take advantage as much as we can of this morning, of all the opportunities that we have this morning. We take advantage of our service in Yeshiva. We recognize the tremendous, tremendous gift that Hashem gave us called Tshuva. We try our best to use the time to think and to contemplate and to focus and to recalibrate ourselves towards doing the best Tshuva we can be, towards becoming the best person that we can be. We should be Zohar Tavit Gmach HaSimtova, a wonderful Duke of Amen.